Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right. 30-21, the Bills end the Chiefs' undefeated season.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove, it's always game day in Buffalo. I mean, euphoria in the stadium.
Yeah. Listen,
I love what I do. I know that, like, it's great to kind of not be in the weather and all that, but
yeah. In
games like this, I love it even more because when you're a part of this crowd, Matt, it's unbelievable. Today was a truly awesome day inside Highmark Stadium.
I mean, sometimes it's a little bit annoying, but I love in a game like this, in a play like this, when Josh Allen runs and scores a touchdown, if you know where the press box is inside the stadium, people turning around and slamming their hands into the press box and just being incredibly fired up. Unbelievable atmosphere. You know, we called this, not we, but a lot of people called this the game of the year, right? It's Josh Allen, it's Patrick Mahomes. I felt like at the end, it was like, okay, let's just play this football game. Like, it's a lot, but it lived up to it, and the Bills were outstanding. And I think my biggest takeaway is that they can go toe to toe with any team. They're really good. When you have Josh Allen, you always have a chance. And I think he's the most valuable player in the league.
I think after today, we'll probably see him as the favorite for MVP after the day that the Steelers had, the Ravens had, losing to the Steelers. Okay, let's talk about the fourth down and two.
Yeah.
Let's go through the process of it, because there's what they call the field goal of death.
Yes.
And I was thinking to myself, is Sean McDermott going to kick the field goal of death? Which is, the field goal of death is when you're up by, they're up two at the time. Mm-hmm. If you kick a field goal, you're only up five, so a touchdown still beats you. Even though you might feel comfortable about it, you're certainly not. He opted not to do that. We talked with several players in the locker room. I will tell you that he got high marks from his team by going for it. And then, of course, Josh did what Josh does.
Yeah, I mean, he said, Josh Allen said afterwards, he trusted his feet, right? Like, that was just what he was going to do. Before the play, I posted, if you're going to go for it, let Josh Allen run. Now, I thought, like, roll out to the side, get 3 yards, and then continue the drive.
I thought, let him go and get an option. Do you want to throw? Does he want to run? But, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that it's even more impressive of a decision from Sean McDermott, considering that earlier in the game, they went for it on a 4th-and-2, and it turned into a huge negative play, the interception. I don't know what happened, if Dawson Knox just stopped or if Josh Allen read the play wrong, whatever happened. So kudos to him for sticking to his guns, because I've always thought that if you're going to go down swinging. And this was an aggressive decision. I feel like there is still somewhat of a misconception that Sean McDermott is not an aggressive coach. He is an incredibly aggressive coach, and we saw that pay off today in that moment.
No doubt. Bills win 30-21. The Chiefs had not given up 30 points or more to any team, I believe 38 straight games, an NFL record until here at Highmark Stadium. What does that say about a Bills offense that we still think sometimes is a bit of a grind for them to move the ball and score?
That Josh Allen is that good. I know that it's not just Josh Allen, but, like, look at how they ran the ball today. they couldn't run the ball. No. It was terrible. Josh Allen had to make something out of a lot of times nothing and was absolutely spectacular. I mean, do you have the third down conversions right in front of you?
Yeah.
It has to be very good. I know that
9 of 15, I believe. Yep, there you go.
9 of 15. And that's not like...
And they didn't have third and twos all day.
That's what I'm saying. That's not like third and two, third and three. Those are third and nine, third and 10, because how many times did you watch this game? And it was like, okay, first and 10, hand off to James Cook, second and 10, then a screen pass to somebody. And it was third and eight, basically. They were really good. And Josh Allen was spectacular today. And I know that the MVP thing doesn't matter a ton. Just winning is what matters. But like, that's why I think that this is the most valuable player in the league, because he can just be spectacular. I saw an ESPN analytics stat before we started recording this episode of the podcast. He had a 1.2% chance at scoring when he tucked the ball and started running on the fourth and two play.
That's amazing.
1.2% chance. And then he just ran over everybody. And like, they're trying to like arm tackle the guy. And he was like, absolutely not. He's a sicko.
I think it might have been Ryan Vandermark. I don't know if it was Dawson Knox. Said once I saw him get the first down, I knew he was scoring. Josh wound up the Bills leading rusher, almost the game's leading rusher, 12 carries, 55 yards, the 26 yard touchdown to go along with that. And they only ran though for 3.4 yards a carry. That's something that they're going to have to look at in the bye week. In the meantime, that's a tough defense to run against. I mean, you know, I always say this, like, don't just look at it through the lens of your own team. Yes, you want to run the ball better, but that's a really tough run defense.
My biggest takeaway from this game, and we're, 5 minutes into the game? I probably should have gotten this earlier. And I think this would have been the same regardless of the outcome. These are two really good teams. Yep. And when they play, either team has a chance to win because the margin is that close. And I think a lot of it will come down to which team has the guy who's the better quarterback and plays the better game. Today, I think that Patrick Mahomes made some special plays, but Josh Allen was the best player on the field. So, you know, they say after the game, like, we feel like we're going to see them again. We 100% think that we're going to run into them again. I know that's just kind of the mindset. Who knows what ultimately ends up playing out. But my takeaway is that, like, they belong in the class of the top teams in the NFL, and they have a chance whenever they play those teams. That does not mean that you're definitely going to beat them, but it means you've got a chance. And I think in the playoffs, that's all you want. You want to be able to get hot at the right time and have a chance. And this team is clearly good enough to do that.
Yeah. The joke I've been saying to people is it was such a fun game. They're going to do it again in 2 months because I feel like it's going to happen. But next time might be in Kansas City. Even with this win, Kansas City still has the inside track to the one seed. They still have the one seed, and their schedule is more favorable than the Bills going forward. All right. Other standouts for this game for the Buffalo Bills. Curtis Samuel finally shows up and has the kind of game. Now, look, the numbers weren't overwhelming for Curtis Samuel, 5 for 58. But a couple really nice catches and plays that he made in critical situations.
Yeah, I mean, man coverage on the touchdown, right? Just beat your man. It looked like they blitzed. Josh knew it and then just threw a ball that was not perfect. Curtis Samuel had to adjust while the ball's coming to him. He brings it in and then he runs into the end zone. I think this was a really big moment for Curtis Samuel. And Sean McDermott said afterwards, it's a reminder that he's still a good player for him. Right? Like, yep. This is going to be one of those ones that you can build off of with no Keon Coleman, with no Dalton Kincaid. They needed somebody. And today was the Curtis Samuel game.
The Bills were without Dalton Kincaid in this one. Dawson Knox stepped up for a couple of catches, 4 for 40, actually, averaged 10 yards a catch. Had a couple critical plays right there. And then, of course, all reliable Khalil Shakir. Now, very oddly, he had 4 times thrown the ball. He didn't catch it, but still 8 catches for 70 yards, Khalil Shakir. And then on the defensive side, obviously, Terrell Bernard, the sack and the interception at the end. Uh-huh. Here's a big difference. He didn't play the last time when they played. Mm-hmm. What a difference he makes.
Well, look at Travis Kelce's stat line. Do you have it in front of you? I'm just basically saying, like, I'm not saying Terrell Bernard canceled out Travis Kelce. They had a good game plan. Travis Kelce finished this game
2 for 8.
2 catches for 8 yards. So
wow.
Terrell Bernard is a difference maker. They are so much better with him on the field. Taron Johnson is an unbelievable player. And, oh, by the way, I don't know why I'm whispering. Oh, by the way, we think Matt Milano's coming back very soon. So not only do you have that guy, but you have a guy next to him who can do the same thing and elevate him even more.
Well, the next time these two teams play, if and when they do, the Chiefs will have Isaiah Pacheco most likely, and the Bills have Matt Milano. So things will change drastically. And for the Bills, obviously getting Matt Milano back would be absolutely huge. Let me look at the defensive stats here for Terrell Bernard, though, as I'm looking.
Go ahead. Real quick, while you're looking. you brought up Khalil Shakir. Yeah. Like, I don't want to gloss over how good he was in this game. He is a yard after catch machine, but to me it's the, okay, third and nine, you need a first down. That guy takes a huge hit, brings in a contested catch, makes the play. I just think that I asked Josh Allen if he could put into words how much he trusts Khalil Shakir. I don't know this for sure, and I don't want to like put words in Josh's mouth. I don't know if there's a receiver he has trusted more in his tenure. Like, right? Like, this guy is just so reliable and consistent. It's probably what he had with like prime Cole Beasley of like, I know Cole Beasley's going to make a play, but Shakir is just very dynamic, right? There's things that Beasley did really well. There's things Shakir does really well. I just think that that dude is a football player, and your team is so much better because of guys like that.
Guys stepping up and making plays. Cam Lewis made two big plays at the end of the game. He almost picked the ball. He said he wished he would have, but he made a great stop on that final drive as well.
Also, a big open field tackle on Travis Kelce that if he does not make, it was third and 14. It makes it fourth and eight. But if he misses that tackle, Kelce has a chance of getting a first down, extending a drive. The Bills force a punt. That was a really big moment in the game.
And he also made a big tackle on a punt where they had an extra blocker up just to make sure that they could get the punt returner off, and he didn't. And Cam Lewis made a great play to stop him right at the 20-yard line. All right, the return of Amari Cooper. First drive down the sidelines. He dropped Josh. What a great pass. Throws it into the bucket. Hits him in the left hand where he catches it. I asked him after the game, does that give you confidence? Hey, I got my left hand on that to catch it. And you know what? He said absolutely gave him confidence. And then another fantastic catch right behind where we're standing, by the way. Amari Cooper, a big addition to the Bills to be healthy in this one.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Bills have not lost with Amari Cooper on their team.
That's what he said.
Since they made the trade for Amari Cooper, and I think that those were two really big moments in the game. The one down the sideline, the first one was just an unbelievable one-handed catch. The second one, a concentration play to get the second foot down, a really, really big swing in the game. Like, those are the plays that those are the types of plays that that caliber of player can make, and I think it does make you that much more dynamic. Once again, no Dalton Kincaid, no Keon Coleman. Like, there's times in this game where those guys would be on the field and maybe things play out even more favorably for the Bills. So I feel like they're getting healthy at a good time and getting Cooper back and eventually Kincaid and Spencer Brown, and, you know, the list goes on.
I wanted to read off Bernard's stat line for everybody. He led the team with 8 total tackles. He had a sack, a tackle for loss, which is the sack, another quarterback hit, the interception, a pass defense. He was, I mean, this guy, he could be in line for AFC Defensive Player of the Week, the way he played in this one. 9 for 15, you brought it up. Now, the Chiefs were actually very good on third down, 5 of 10, but it didn't really kill the Bills in this one, them being 50%.
Yes and no, right? Like, it's the game is such, the margins are so small with teams that are this good, because the Josh Allen play changes everything. But if Josh Allen doesn't pick it up on 4th and 2 and they don't get it, I mean, we're talking about a 2-point lead with 2.5 minutes left. And who knows how we feel about the way that game ends. Probably not good. You would probably think that, you know, Mahomes is going to get him down the field. If you're watching on the video, I love. That's very nice that that gentleman just ducked. You didn't have to duck, but that was very nice of him to do it. So, yeah, I mean, I just think that, like, the third down defense, they did an okay job. This is actually better, though, than what the Chiefs have averaged all year. They've averaged 52% conversion rate on third down. If they were 5 of 10, that means that they were 50%. So still really freaking good, but not quite to the level that they've done this season.
Bills have been really good lately on third down. You brought it up earlier, 9 of 15, which is 60% overall. RK, Tyler Bass misses an extra point. Boy, that could have really been the downfall of this team in this game, considering the final score and the way it played out.
If they don't get the 4th and 2... and then all of a sudden it's a 2-point lead instead of a 3-point lead.
If they have a practice squad kicker from the Jets went on a walk-off, which was the joke going into the week, I really thought it could happen.
So this is interesting. The 4th and 2 that they didn't get, where they tried to throw the ball to Dawson Knox and it turns into the interception. There were so many people online mad at that decision. Now, I understand the thought, because at that point, the Bills are ahead. I think at that point, it is 13-7. If you think that Tyler Bass is going to make that kick, all of a sudden, it's 16-7. Instead, they turn the ball over, the Chiefs go down, they score, and now it's 14-13, you're trailing. The thought process in my head behind that is they like the chances of a 4th and 2 conversion with Josh Allen more than they like his chances at making a 50-yard field goal. Yep. I wonder if there's like a number behind it. I wonder if they have the numbers, the analytics. If they're like, okay, Tyler Bass is 62% or something from this range, and this is what we think the number for Josh Allen is. But I quite simply just don't think they trust him as much as Allen did.
Well, I would also – but I'll say this. He saw him miss an extra point already before that happened. And I just think I think the game was just, we need to be aggressive this game. Need to be aggressive. Sean McDermott has been aggressive against Kansas City throughout the last few years. I think this was the kind of game where he just went into the game and said, we're going to be aggressive and trust our defense. Look, at halftime, Kansas City only had like 170 yards of offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't have a ton of offense, or even less than that. I have to look at the first half stats. They scored their second touchdown because of the turnover. The Bills did a nice job of holding him in check. Were you surprised the Bills didn't go for 2, though, then after scoring a couple touchdowns? I thought they might try to chase the points after a while.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I thought that they would have went for 2 if they scored a touchdown at the end of the half. Instead, they scored the field goal, so they went up 16-14. I thought at that point they took the lead instead of settling, you know, for 20-14. I thought that they would have tried to make it a touchdown game at that point. After that, though, I don't really think there was another situation that came up where I'm like, oh, I'm surprised they're going for 2, because obviously, you know, you talk about Tyler Bass, not good. He's got to make the extra points. That said, the extra point he made at the end on the touchdown for Josh Allen, huge, because it makes it a 2-possession game. Like, that was – I wasn't really – because I'm typing, right? You're like, oh,
Josh. If he misses, it's an 8-point game.
That's what I mean. I'm typing. I'm like, oh, I think Josh Allen is the MVP. And then you look up and you're like, oh, probably should have watched that because it's a 1-possession game.
I couldn't see where I was standing. It sounded like the fans were a little like they thought it might miss. Did he just squeeze it in?
I don't think that one he squeezed in. I think the one before that, the Curtis Samuel touchdown. I believe, I could be wrong, but once again, I think that was the one that barely made it.
Just curious from what I saw. By the way, 125 yards. That's all the Chiefs had at halftime, 125 yards. They wind up with only 259. The Bills with 366 of total offense, 366 against 259. All right, what other meat on the bone do we have that we anything you want to say? The turnovers. They get Patrick Mahomes in the first pass of the game, his first pass. They get him later, obviously. They started the game and ended the game with an interception of Patrick Mahomes. What's that, 12, 13 straight games, whatever it is. I think it's 12 straight games with a takeaway for the Buffalo Bills, who have just been ball hawking this year.
Yeah, the defensive line, I think, really caused a lot of havoc that allowed those turnovers to happen, especially the first one. They get to Mahomes. He, you know, it looks like either he gets hit or he's just trying to throw it up and salvage something. Taylor Rapp stands tall, makes the, you know, the ball oversails whoever it was intended for. He makes the catch. It really set the tone for the day. And I think that, you know, Taylor Rapp is a player who has continued to get better as the season has gone on. You know, I say a thing or two on this podcast about safeties in the safety position, but I have been impressed with what Taylor Rapp has done for the last month or so.
He did leave this game with a foot injury. He had his foot examined. He said he's okay. He came back. He played, obviously. This happened in the first half.
Did you talk to Deion after the game? Is he fine?
Because he said, I'm standing here, so I'm good. Yeah. That's what he said. So, well, let's talk about going forward now. All right, so they have a bye week coming up. That's going to be great for their health, for their mind. Dwayne Carter can come back. He's eligible.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think
he's missed 4 games. Matt Milano most likely will be back by the next time they play. Keon Coleman will most likely be back by the next time they play. I'm guessing on that one more than anything. This team is going to start getting healthy. Obviously, there could be injuries in other games, but obviously a great sign with the Niners coming to town and a bye week that's really going to help right now.
Did you see the 49ers lose?
They lose
to the Seahawks today.
At home.
At home. And like, I just think, first off, I want to flash everyone back to my Arizona Cardinals week 1. We finished that podcast, and on the podcast I said, I think the Cardinals might be actually pretty good. They're controlling that division right now. The Cardinals are sneaky good. I think the Seahawks win was a really impressive win for the Bills against a team that a lot of people wrote off that I don't bad. I just think that the Bills played a really good game. Listen, the 49ers didn't have Kittle today. They'll probably have Kittle back. I know they're already without Ayuk for the rest of the season. But, like, we're undefeated, and the Bills played a really good game against them. And I know it was only a 9-point – only is relative. It was a 9-point win, but it was also just that close because of what I would consider self-inflicted wounds, right? Like the 4th-and-2 that you don't get, the interception, some uncharacteristic mistakes. Like, the Bills were the better team today, for sure. That doesn't mean when they play again they'll be the better team, but today they were.
Steelers beat the Ravens. There's a big game going on as we talk right now between the Bengals and the Chargers. There's a lot to still happen in the AFC, but the Bills are in a great position right now. They're 9-2 and one step closer to their fifth straight AFC Eastern Division crown. They could really start to have mathematically a look at that very soon.
I was going to say, do you know the magic? So the Jets lose today.
But the Dolphins won.
The Dolphins won, but
the Bills swept them.
But the Bills swept them. So if the Dolphins won out, I believe they're 4-6. If they won out, they would be 11-6, but they would need to be a game ahead of the Bills because of the tiebreaker the Bills have against them.
The Jets are 3-8.
Yes. I mean, there is a very good chance that Aaron Rodgers is not playing quarterback to town for the second last game of the season. Hey, listen, this game, it's just a game. It's just one game. There's a lot of things that can happen, but it does do a lot because it does at least give you, you know, like, I don't want to say a glimmer of hope, but like there's a chance that they could be the one seed. It's an outside chance, right, but there's a chance.
No, there's no doubt about that. But right now they just need, as they say, keep stacking wins. The Denver Broncos are the big win today, too. They're slowly becoming a team, okay. I say. I don't maybe want to put them in the category of do not want to play in the first round.
There's not any team that you want to play in the first round. That's the playoffs. I mean, that's why, right, the bye week would be so big because, you know, they've handled their business in the wild card round. But, you know, you have one bad day or you make some uncharacteristic mistakes and your season ends. So that's the luxury of being the one seed. You know, you get a weekend off, you get healthier, and you know everybody's coming to you in the playoffs, which is pretty cool.
Six straight wins for the Buffalo Bills. They head to the bye week at 9-2. Who would have thought after so many people thought this was going to be a step back year for the Buffalo Bills?
Best start since 1992, the year I was born.
Oh, wow.
The best. This is the best start since 1992. Can I cut a quick promo here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Mike Rabier, our producer, if you're listening to this, watching this back, feel free to clip this. If you say that this is the Bills Super Bowl, it is completely BS. It is such a bad, lazy take. It makes no sense. That would imply that the Bills are satisfied with winning a game on November 17th. They certainly are not. I understand that it doesn't matter if you can beat the Chiefs until you do it in the playoffs, but suggesting this is their Super Bowl is so mind-numbingly stupid. So if you think that that's what this is, I don't think you have any idea what you're talking about, quite frankly. So there's my hot take to end this little episode of the podcast.
I'm not even going to try and top that. We'll talk more one more time before I head on a vacation and the Bills have a bye week.
I'm also going on vacation.
Where are you going? I knew I was. I didn't know.
We're going to Disney World.
Oh, you're going to Florida. I'm going to California.
Okay, so you're
going to the other Disney, not really Disney.
Oh, I was going to say, if you're going to, you know, Los Angeles, I'm going to Disney World with my wife and our daughter, so I'm excited.
When are you leaving?
We leave Thursday or something. Yeah, it's just like a little three or four day trip, but I'm excited. You know, she's at the age, it's going to be a bit tricky getting her on the plane because she's a year and a half. So she always needs to be entertained. But I also think she's going to be incredibly stimulated when she's, you know, looking at all the fireworks and all the characters and stuff. So it's going to be fun.
We took Max, 6 months old, to Europe, and they actually gave us a spot with a bassinet attached to the wall.
Yeah,
and bassinet was right there.
Yeah, we're going to have to do the Southwest game, where if you're listening to us from like a Southwest corporate office, we don't have a ticket for our daughter because she's young enough, but we're going to put her in between us. So if you're getting onto the plane, you're going to have to be the one to say, like, hey, can you pick up your daughter? So hopefully there is not a completely full flight and we can have, you know, an actual row to ourselves.
We have a lot of listeners and viewers all around the world and the country. By the way, thank you always at Sal Sports on YouTube. You can find the video and wherever you podcast, no matter what. But I want to say that because Matt's going to be in Florida. Maybe you'll see him bumping around Disney. Mm-hmm. I'm going to California. We're going to Alcatraz on Friday night.
That's sweet.
Sabres Sharks in San Jose on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And then doing Napa on
Sunday. We were in Indianapolis last week. There were a ton of Bills fans in Indianapolis. Yes. And I always think it's so cool to meet people who listen, who watch, who listen to you on the radio, who watch the podcast, all that stuff. So thank you for the continued support. Obviously, you know, we wanted to get an episode up for you as quick as possible because we know a lot of Bills fans are going to be taking in as much Bills content as humanly possible. We'll get you another episode before we do our vacations, but we wanted to make sure we got something for you tonight. Well, you can, people are going to be really, really excited about the Bills, and they should be because the team is very, very good.
Download, subscribe, give us likes, good ratings, all that kind of stuff. Happy Thanksgiving over there, by the way, because we won't see these people until a couple more weeks. Next time the Bills play, it'll be here at Highmark Stadium on a Sunday night, December 1st, Thanksgiving weekend against the San Francisco 49ers. Check them out. Go see them in Florida at Disney World. I'll be in California. Going to do something with the Bills backers, I think, in San Jose. In the meantime, thanks to Mike Robbie, our producer. All right, buddy. You have a safe trip. We'll talk again soon. Thanks a lot for joining us here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Bills win 30-21. They end the Kansas City Chiefs undefeated season.